Lord, help us to commence this evening with hymn 676. 676. Oh, could I lift this heart of mine above these creature things, I'd fly and leave this world below as though on eagle's wings. Hymn 676.
We'll read from God's holy word from the book of Psalms, from Psalm 42 and 43. Psalms 42 and 43. Psalm 42, to the chief musician, Maskil, for the sons of Korah. As the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say unto me, Where is thy God? When I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me, for I have gone with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God, with the voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept holy day. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. O my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore will I remember thee from the land of Jordan and from the Hermonites, from the hill Mizar. Deep calleth unto deep at the noise of thy waterspouts. All thy waves and thy billows are gone over me. Yet the Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night his song shall be with me, and my prayer unto the God of my life. I will say unto God, My rock, why hast thou forgotten me? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? As with a sword, in my bones mine enemies reproach me, while they say daily unto me, Where is thy God? Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him who is the health of my countenance and my God. Psalm 43. Judge me, O God, and plead my cause against an ungodly nation. O deliver me from the deceitful and unjust man. For thou art the God of my strength. Why dost thou cast me off? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? O send out thy light and thy truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me unto the holy hill and to thy tabernacles. Then will I go unto the altar of God, unto God my exceeding joy. Yea, upon the harp will I praise thee, O God, my God. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him who is the health of my countenance and my God. Let us pray. O Lord, almighty and most gracious God, we do pray for thy help now, as we come before thee this evening. O Lord, do grant of thy mercies upon us, to speak unto us. Speak the word only. Be not thou silent unto us, lest we be like them that go down into the pit. O Lord, we do pray that thou wouldst be pleased to speak. Grant those words of comfort, of instruction, where needed reproof and direction, O Lord, do give us ears to hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. For oft times thou dost speak, to speak through thy word, to speak through thy servants that preach the word. Thou dost speak in our in providence and in our lives, thou dost speak in the creation. How often we're dull of hearing, or forgetful hearers. Or we do not want to hear that which thou hast spoken. O Lord, do grant us that truly humble and spiritual mind to hearken unto thy word. O Lord, grant us an appetite and a desire to hear the voice of our beloved. O Lord, do inflame our love, lest we be like those that have forsaken their first love, grown cold, lukewarm, indifferent, caring not whether we hear the voice of the Lord or not. O Lord, keep us from that, that we may be like those who desire to hear thy word, to know thy presence. O Lord, do grant thy comfort, as thou art the good shepherd. Thou art a compassionate and faithful, gracious, merciful high priest. O Lord, indeed we do pray, help us then to grant us that reverence, yet that joy and peace in believing. O thou Holy Spirit of truth, do come and visit us, we pray, this evening. Grant help to our friends here, both in the chapel and church here, and also neighbouring churches. O Lord, we do pray for thy rich blessing to be upon them each. And O Lord, do grant thy favour. Do grant a building up, we pray, and adding unto them. O Lord, that the testimony and the witness here may be blessed of thee. O Lord, we do pray in mercy. Remember us in this nation. Remember us in the churches. That, O Lord, we may not be left just adrift with the world, but that we should be witnesses and to be kept, preserved in love and in humility, in faithfulness unto thee. Grant, O Lord, thy favour upon thy servants that do labour. My own pastor, do be with him where he is. Grant thy rich blessing upon the ministry for each of thy servants. But, O Lord, raise up more labourers, ministers, pastors in the church as we pray. O Lord, that thou wouldst appear mightily for us. We raise up members, mothers in Israel, deacons, those who would be helps in the service of thy holy name. O Lord, do be with the children and the young people to guide them, to bless them. Do teach them, help them in their studies, in their work. Do, O Lord, provide for them godly husbands and wives. Grant, O Lord, thy favour to rest upon them and bless them and keep them in this evil world. O Lord, indeed, unspeakable things, astonishing things. O Lord, truly the days are evil. And, O Lord, how Satan is seeking above all to attack the young and the children in the schools. O Lord, do preserve them, do guide them into the truth as it is in Christ Jesus the Lord. And, O Lord, open many eyes, we pray, in the nation to see the folly and the evil of those things that are being done. But, O Lord, there is a truth, an absolute truth. Thou art the truth, thy word is truth. Thou didst say, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And, O Lord, we do pray for thy favour then. O, through thy dear Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, do grant us to know that mercy and grace. O Lord, the shed blood, the precious righteousness, the precious blood. And, O Lord, thou hast risen from from the dead, ascended into heaven, thy precious intercession at the right hand of the Father, and by the Spirit thou art Emmanuel, God with us, Christ in you, the hope of glory. O Lord, we do pray that thou wouldst be pleased to help us. Look in mercy upon our nation at this time. Do look in mercy, we pray, upon our King and government and parliament. Do raise up those who would fear thy name, and those that boldly testify of the truth, do preserve them and keep them. O Lord, we do pray, have mercy. And in this time of trouble and of war in Europe, O Lord, do grant peace. O Lord, do overturn the hand of the oppressor and the aggressor. Do, O Lord, watch over thy one true church, especially in the midst of unrest and war. But, O Lord, we do pray for peace. And, O Lord, that to be pleased to preserve us, we are utterly unworthy. Thou hast not dealt with us as our sins deserve. Yea, indeed, in thy long suffering thou hast spared us. So, Lord, we do see thy word going forth from this land. Especially we do pray for the work of the Trinitarian Bible Society and that most vital work. O Lord, thou hast graciously spared that that work may continue and go forth. O Lord, do provide all that is needful. Do grant thy help unto the translators, some in persecution, some in exile, some in poverty, amidst conflict. O Lord, do grant thy word may be blessed abundantly, and we thank thee for that, those wonderful things that thou art doing. And O Lord, may we thank thee as we ought for thy word before us, a faithful, precious word. Thy word is very pure, therefore thy servant loveth it. And O Lord Jesus Christ, who art the word, how thou art pure, holy, sinless, undefiled, spotless Lamb, the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. Oh, we do thank thee indeed. Grant us that favour now, that help in speaking, that help in hearing. Be with any that are unable to be here, be caring for the children or any that may be ill. O Lord, we do pray for thy help and thy favour to be upon them. But, O Lord, bless us each, whether absent or present, that, O Lord, thou hast drawn near. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Hymn 984. Hark how the gospel trumpet sounds, Christ and free grace therein abounds, free grace to such as sinners be, and if free grace, why not for me? Hymn 984.
Thank you.
May the Lord help us in turning to his word this evening. I direct you particularly to Psalm 42, both verses 5 and 11. Psalm 42, verses 5 and 11. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. And verse 11, why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him who is the health of my countenance and my God. The psalmist, cast down, soul cast down. That question, why art thou cast down, O my soul? Oft times we may feel much cast down. In the original, the word signifies a sinking. To be sinking. And that, as it were, inward sinking in our soul, our heart sinking. Maybe many afflictions, things to, as it were, cast us down. Read in Psalm 107, and we find the same word appears there in verse 39, there translated, brought low. Again they are minished and brought low through oppression, affliction, and sorrow. Some may be afflicted with those mental afflictions, others it may be that sorrow, sadness, bereavement, oppression, persecution. Here it would appear the psalmist perhaps was separated from the house of God. O my God, in verse 6, my soul is cast down within me, therefore will I remember thee from the land of Jordan. And of the Hermonites from the hill Mizar, separated there from the house of God and the fellowship of the saints, cast down. Or there may be occasions when we don't know why our soul is cast down, just is, and we know not why. In other respects, things may be well. We know there are so many things to be thankful for. But yet we're cast down, the sinking. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted in me? The word disquieted also signifies like a roaring, a clamouring. Disquiet, the disturbance. Well, we must begin in the beginning, as it were. The word of God, the answer to all questions in respect to the soul, we find in the word of God. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. As we read in Psalm 43 and verse 3, that prayer, and it is a good one indeed. O, send out thy light and thy truth, and let them lead me. Let them bring me unto thy holy hill, and to thy tabernacles. Now we need that leading, that guiding of the Holy Spirit to guide us into all truth. And that increase of faith to believe that as for God, his way is perfect. And for each true believer called by grace, each truly seeking soul, which is a true mark of that call by grace, this foundation remain sure. All things work together for good to them that love God and are called according to his purposes. Even those times when we feel to be cast down in the soul. Well, we are, not just feel, but we are. All things are in the hand of God. And may we humbly bow before him. But we must ask that question, where does sorrow, sickness, how does it arise? Or death, or bereavement, or trouble? Well, we find the answer so clearly in Genesis chapter 3, the fall of man and sin. And the Lord's just answer and judgment on account of sin, and that cursing of the ground, and how the Lord said to Adam, "Cursed is the ground for thy sake, in sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread till thou return unto the ground. For out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return." And unto the woman he said, "I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee." And in Adam we are all partakers of that fallen nature. And so we must first come before God confessing our sin. Indeed, that sickness that does so often assail us at various times or various ways, or the advancement of age and growing weakness perhaps, or even the younger friends or children who are growing up. Yet it is all an approach unto that time appointed unto man once to die, and then the judgment. That all flesh is as grass. The flower of grass, it fades, it perishes, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today and forever. There's our hope. Not in ourselves, we are sinners. We are perishing, as it were. The marks of sin and death are there, all to be seen. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And so first, why art thou cast down, O my soul? We must not charge God unrighteously. Children of Israel in the wilderness, it wasn't long before they faced, as they were being delivered out of Egypt, they faced great privations, perplexities, troubles, losses. And they murmured in their tents. They murmured against Moses and Aaron. They murmured against God, moreover. And challenged, defied God. And it is not uncommon to hear people doing the same today. And indeed, the old man of sin within, the fallen nature provoked by the devil, will do the same as well. Oh, may we know that renewing power of the Holy Spirit. Like David prayed in his confession over that great sin. He sinned concerning Bathsheba and Uriah the Hittite. Against thee and against thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight. Create in me a clean heart, renew in me a right spirit, he prayed. So first we must confess that the fault is with us. And may we never charge God foolishly. Whatever affliction or trouble or sorrow we are going through, it is, we must not charge God. It is in his hand. All things are in his hand. He is the sovereign ruler. He is upon the throne. But as for God, his way is perfect. He may bring us into these paths for our chastening, our correction. But it's also always in righteousness. But if there be any fault, we have to say, verily guilty. We are sinners and fallen. May we humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God. But the title of the psalm, which is part of the inspired original, to the chief musician, yes, the psalmist was still praising God, to sing the praises of God, even in the midst of that, those perplexities and troubles, yet he was still praising God. How needful it is that we should rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say rejoice. To come before him with thanksgiving at all time. Even if we are in the lowest dungeon like Paul and Silas were in Philippi. The deliverance came when they sang praises to God and they prayed unto him. And the prisoners heard it. They weren't moaning and groaning down there in the dungeon and bewailing or having an argument between Paul and Silas about the vision and whether it was right or not. They were united in praising and thanking God. And that is very much a lesson to us. And those who are in the low dungeon, seems as if the stone's been put over the mouth, as it were, shut away in the dark. But let not us forget God, who is good. The God omnipotent reigneth. He is on high interceding for us. That even in the darkest place, there is hope. Indeed, for our Lord Jesus Christ went through such darkness, such sorrow, such affliction, such mockings, blasphemy. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? He cried from the cross. The Lord Jesus Christ hath gone before. He is descended, but praise God, he is ascended, risen. Far above all principality and powers. The darkness, those things that do oppress us, the Lord Jesus Christ has risen far above. Why art thou cast down, O my soul, and why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God. There is the cause of that hope, that good hope in God. In the midst of, well, human reason would indicate no hope. Abraham, he... that hope against hope, and sort of that warfare. At times it seemed that carnal reasons got the better of him. But yet there was the triumph of faith. And we see in here in this psalm that conflict. Where is now thy God? Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Deep calleth unto deep at the noise of the waterspouts, and all thy waves and thy billows are gone over me. But then we see the, as it were, the triumph of faith. Yet the Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night his song shall be with me, and my prayer unto the God of my life. But here is that battle. Yet it begins to the chief musician. And indeed it ends with praise, for I shall yet praise him who is the health of my countenance. The word health there is actually Yeshua in Hebrew when I looked it up. Just the title of that's Christ in Hebrew. The Saviour. It's the health or Saviour. My countenance and my God. There I shall praise him who is the health, actually the Saviour. Jesus, the Son of God, the Messiah. Of my countenance and my God. Indeed, if we begin with praise, even in the darkest hour, we shall end in praise. Indeed, is that not true concerning the church triumphant, who was part of the church militant? That means the church is fighting spiritual warfare. Time of sorrows, tribulations, trouble, battles within and without, but now in heaven, promoted to the church triumphant, where it is only praise. And there's no more sorrow, no more sighing, no sinking. They're in a city that hath foundations, a better place, a heavenly country. For I shall yet praise him who is the health of my countenance and my God. And these things we have need to look up, to see those things that are eternal, that are not seen with the natural eye, but seen and received by faith. The promises of God in Christ Jesus are yea and amen. That word amen means it's certain, it's sure. Also means it's true. When it says verily, so many places in the New Testament, literally it's the word amen. There's a stability, a certainty there in the truth. That discovered the two words in Hebrew for truth and, as it were, certainty are almost the same. They're derived from each other. Christ, I am the way, the truth and the life. Christ, who is the rock. The last word in the Bible, amen, which is sure, it's true. Title of Christ. There, the truth in Christ Jesus. There is that sure stability. A good foundation. And by faith, may we look and press forward to that city that hath foundations. Things in this world, so often they sink. It's might seem to be stable, but suddenly it's shaken and falls. But that city that hath foundations, heaven itself. Whatever things we may be sinking in here, let us look up and look toward to Christ. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. But the chief musician, Maskil, which translators note, says a psalm giving instruction. This is for our instruction. We have need of it. Oft times we are sinking. Do you feel to be fainting? The devil's version of the scriptures is men ought always to faint and not to pray. And don't we so often fall into that? Listen to the devil's word, always fainting and not praying. For Christ said men ought always to pray and not to faint. There's a psalm giving instruction for the sons of Korah. Now what befell Korah? He was one of the Levites. And we read in Numbers 26, and of the sons of Eliab, Nimuel and Dathan and Abiram. This is that Dathan and Abiram which were famous in the congregation, who strove against Moses and against Aaron in the company of Korah. Now Korah was of the Levites. strove against Moses and against Aaron in the company of Korah when they strove against the Lord. And the earth opened her mouth and swallowed them together with Korah when that company died, what time the fire devoured 250 men and they became a sign. Notwithstanding, the children of Korah died not. Now Korah went down, the earth opened its mouth. No, went down quick, that is alive, into the pit. That sinking to rise no more. But this is for the sons of Korah. Now the sons of Korah died not. They evidently were of those who fled from the tent of their father, who had committed that great sin and provocation before God. They didn't follow their natural father according to the flesh, but they followed the Lord, the Father. And they were spared. And they were particularly appointed in the singing of praises in the temple. So often these psalms are for the sons of Korah. There, by the grace of God, they were spared from that being cast down, that's perpetual sinking. There's another sinking we read of, perpetually, never to rise again, concerning Babylon. Right at the end of the prophecy of Jeremiah in chapter 51. So Jeremiah wrote in a book all the evil that should come upon Babylon, even all these words that are written against Babylon. And Jeremiah said to Sariah, when thou comest to Babylon and shalt see and shalt read all these words, then shalt thou say, O Lord, thou hast spoken against this place to cut it off, that none shall remain in it, neither man nor beast, but that it shall be desolate forever. It shall be when thou hast made an end of reading this book, that thou shalt bind a stone to it and cast it into the midst of the river Euphrates, that is the river Euphrates. And thou shalt say, thus shall Babylon sink, and shall not rise from the evil that I will bring upon her. And they shall be weary. Thus far are the words of Jeremiah. But here the sun, we see Korah went down into the earth, never to hell, never to rise again. Well, Babylon, perpetual sinkings of Babylon. But here the sons of Korah, by the grace of God, there is hope. Though cast down, sinking, be yet through that the resurrection power of Christ, the Messiah. Because I live, you shall live also. There is hope. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted in me? Yes, and those things that really trouble us. We cannot see a way out, or those things we cannot understand. Or may we rather look up. We see Jeremiah was delivered from the pit, from the low dungeon. David was, at another time, was in feet in the miry clay, in the mire. There was that woman that could in no wise lift herself up. And that's how we are. We just cannot get ourselves up in any way, but the Lord Jesus came and laid his hand upon her. Oh, the Lord Jesus Christ should come and visit her. He is the good physician. He is the physician of the health of my countenance, the salvation of my countenance, and my God. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God. May we look unto Jesus. He has risen far above the darknesses and the principalities and the powers. Just the blessing of the resurrection, and then particularly think in this context the ascension of our Lord Jesus Christ, where he, in front of his disciples, ascended up into heaven, there to be glorified at the right hand of the Father. Prophecy, we read of this in Psalm 24. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lift up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, even lift them up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. Selah. And we read in Ephesians, there where the Lord hath risen, and on the right hand of the Father, even when we were dead in sins. There's a place, as it were, sunk in sin. Can no wise lift ourselves up, even when we're dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ, by grace ye are saved. Hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That he's ascended into heaven and gone before, that his people, the one true church, that look unto him for salvation and truly hope in him, should and will be with him. And by faith, the Apostle Paul, there he could look from that prison cell and rejoice in the salvation and glory that awaited, even though he was on this earth, was awaiting his imminent execution. And many had forsaken the way, spoken against him, betrayed him. Even Demas, who he thought had been a fellow minister of the gospel. But yet the crown of righteousness was awaiting, not that of his own supposed self-righteousness as a Pharisee, but that which our Lord Jesus Christ had wrought out in his obedience and fulfilling of the holy law. But he could rejoice even there with a hope in God, for God, the Lord Jesus, is at the right hand of the Father. He is risen. Because I live, ye shall live also. Hope thou in God. Yes, we need a divine help when no man careth for our soul. We need that which is divine help. And so the Lord Jesus Christ, God manifest in the flesh, truly man, gone through such darkness in his sacred humanity, but yet risen again, declared to be the Son of God, the resurrection from the dead. And what hope there was when the Lord Jesus Christ appeared to the disciples, when they were cast down, sorrowing, they'd failed, they'd forsaken, they'd fled. Peter had denied him with oaths and curses, saying, I know not the man. And how filled with sorrow they were. They'd lost, it seemed, the Lord Jesus. And they had failed. But yet the Lord came unto the disciples. The first word that he spake to the women was all hail. Literally, in the original, joy. The word simply means joy. that salutation of joy. First word he speaks unto the disciples in the upper room is peace. That joy and peace in believing. And it is from the word, from Christ, from his word. We so need the word spoken unto us. Speak the word only. When we're in that cast down place in our soul, we need the word of God. And God is faithful, who hath promised. Yes, we may fear that silence. Be not silent unto me, lest I like them that go down into the pit. But the Lord is gracious to those who truly seek him. We do solemnly read of a silence for Saul. And the Lord answered not. We see that Saul there, he sought with Urim. There was the Urim and the Thummim, these sacred articles or items that are not described any more than those names that were placed in the breastplate of the high priest. But the words signify in the original lights, Urim, Thummim, perfections. Lights and perfections. That speaks of Christ, the light of the world, the holy Lamb of God, pure, perfect. And through the Urim and the Thummim, there was evidently some particular access. So we read in the Old Testament that the Lord should speak. There's a lesson to us in seeking unto the high priest, our great high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ. That light, we see light in his light. His perfections, the Lord our righteousness. And that seeking of light, it's not out of curiosity, why is my soul cast down? Or out of curiosity to know what the future will behold, as if we should go to some soothsayer to try and find out what will happen tomorrow. That was King Saul. But we notice in there that the word Thummim is missing. He only sought Urim, lights. He wasn't seeking the perfections. There wasn't that thirsting after righteousness. Wanted some light on the way. What will happen? And may we seek not only light, but that perfection. Psalm 43, verse 3. O send out thy light and thy truth. Not just light, but truth. We live in a day when truth is so little regarded. Indeed, truth can be anything whatever somebody believes earnestly is considered to be a truth. Like Pilate said, what is truth? Nobody seems to know what it is. Or perhaps they dare not say what their conscience tells them and the word of God tells them it is. Jesus Christ, the truth. Thy word is truth. An absolute standard of right and wrong. The truth is that which is right before God. So send out thy light and thy truth. How we do need the Spirit to guide us, but the Holy Spirit only guides in accordance with the word of God. There are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. There can be no contradiction between any spiritual leadings and the word of God. Well, there will be if it's a false spirit, demonic spirit, the spirit of this world. Yes, there will be a contradiction. But if it's the Holy Spirit, it must be perfectly in accordance with the word. O send out thy light and thy truth. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. Not only the written word, but Christ, the living word. He is the light of the world. And that word lamp signifies the candlestick in the tabernacle. And it was fueled by pure oil olive, beaten for the light, as we read in Leviticus. And there we see Christ's sufferings, pure and holy, yet beaten. As he was in the judgment. Pilate couldn't find anything amiss with him. He declared him to be righteous, yet still had him beaten and scourged. Pure oil olive, beaten for the light. And there, through Christ's sufferings, there we see that we are brought into light. We see him laying down his life a sacrifice for the sins of his one true church. We, by the Spirit, are led to call upon him, to seek him and to find, to confess their sins and to look up in faith and in love, believing upon him. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever shall believe on him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Why art thou cast down, O my soul, and why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, looking unto Jesus. Indeed, he's a compassionate high priest. He's a friend of sinners. David was in a low place at Ziklag, or perhaps one of the lowest that we must have recorded, and certainly before he became king. There in 1 Samuel 30, there Ziklag was burnt with fire. Well, David had been going with the Philistines. We don't read that he'd had any particular authority of God to be there. It was not a place he ought to have been. Certainly not marching with the Philistine army. And it was the Philistine lords themselves who said this man ought not to be there. And so he was sent away. And then we see the chastening hand of God. Ziklag burnt with fire. Everybody carried away, they knew not where, by the Amalekites. And David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. Then we read the word but. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. Hope thou in God. This was a work of faith in the Holy Spirit. And David said to Abiathar the priest, Ahimelech's son, I pray thee, bring me hither the ephod. And Abiathar brought thither the ephod to David, that high priest's robe, which speaks of the righteousness of Christ. And the high priest, that breastplate with the Urim and the Thummim, and the names of the children of Israel were there bound on the breast of the heart of the high priest, signifying how each one of his true church, whom he laid down his precious life, a dear to him. They're precious. The names are written there. And also they're written on those jewels on his shoulders, signifying that he's carrying them as the good shepherd to carry them through. David, there, bring hither the ephod, which signifies the righteousness of Christ. That which Christ hath done. For at that time they by faith look forward to that which should be done by the Messiah. David's Lord, yet David's son. And Abiathar brought thither the ephod to David. There's an encouragement to us. We seek the precious name of Jesus in our trouble, our sorrow, perplexity. Yes, and Abiathar brought thither the ephod. He was brought near. David inquired at the Lord, saying, there was the access. It was through Christ and his righteousness. Shall I pursue after this troop? Shall I overtake them? And he answered, pursue, and thou shalt surely overtake them. without fail recover all. And then immediately we find that David went and he and the 600 men, the mutiny was over. How the Lord can turn the hearts of a multitude in the moment. What power he has. Well, let us remember, if we're cast down, we're powerless in the situation. Whatever can we do? But God has all power. All power is given unto me in heaven and on earth, saith the Lord Jesus Christ. Go ye therefore, teach all nations. There is no power and authority that the Lord does not have. Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. The Lord is our helper. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. We read in Philippians as well, in Philippians 4 and verse 19 and 20. For my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Indeed, these are, you might say, uplifting things to draw us up out of the pit, the mire. It's by the grace of God, the power of God, the resurrection power of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that we should praise him. For I shall yet praise. That word also signifies to give thanks. Yet praise him for the help of his countenance. And may the Lord give us that help. And he is faithful as promised. Let us go to the mercy seat. Let us commit all our way into his hand. And as we have in that psalm, Psalm 107. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distresses. And he led them forth by the right way, that they might go to a city of habitation. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness, and for his wonderful works to the children of men. For he satisfieth the longing soul, and filleth the hungry soul with goodness. And the Lord is so good unto us. May we praise him, may we give that testimony. To profess his name and to speak of his goodness. Amen.
God willing, Mr. Wheatley is expected to preach on Tuesday evening, and there will be a prayer meeting for church members on Friday evening. And Mr. Graham Cottingham is expected to preach next Lord's Day. He also hopes to address the Sunday school in the afternoon and administer the Lord's Supper. Let us close with hymn 332. Now let the feeble all be strong, and make Jehovah's arm their song. His shield is spread o'er every saint, and thus supported, who shall faint? Hymn 332.
to grant us thy blessing as we part. We thank thee for thy precious word and that good hope in thy dear Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us now and evermore. Amen.